Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Hallelujah, bless the Lord. Somebody say, bless the Lord. Somebody say, the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord for the band and the praise and worship team. Amen. They fulfilled their assignment this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. How's everybody? You blessed, I know. I know some of y'all are calm now. You came in, you know, concerned about different things, but the Holy Spirit has, you know, made you calm and confident in what He wants to do in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody to say, I'm so glad to see you today. Amen. The more the merrier. Amen. So when we come together, it's a great thing. And it pleases the Lord. Amen. Well, you ready to get into the word a little bit? Amen. I know you. Some of y'all glad to be, just sit down. Some of y'all sat down. Beforehand. Amen? All right. Well, all right. I want you to lift your Bibles, your devices, whatever you got. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody. Amen. The sun is shining. Yay! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Say, this is the Bible. I am what this says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what the Word of God says I can have. Say, it will lift me up out of where? Darkness into the light. Out of poverty, where? Into wealth. Out of sickness, into health. I mean, literally, literally. Say, this day, after hearing and receiving the ever-living, the everlasting Word of God, I will never be the same again. Never, 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 never. Never, ever, ever, ever. Tell somebody, will I be the same again? In Jesus' name. Amen. Say, just one word from God will change your life. Is my volume okay? Am I too loud? That means I can't get loud, then I'll be real loud. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever James says, whatever he does. Amen? All right. I want to talk today about being sharers of each other's grace. All right? I'm going to be really practical today and just read some scriptures and share what I've learned about grace gifts. How many of you know about grace gifts? Yeah? No? All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. I think I gave them the King James Version. Hallelujah. The more we know, the more we can have. The more we know about God, the more we know about His grace, the more we can do, right? So that we can be who He created us to be, have what He created us to have, and to do what He's called us to do. Amen? Tell the person next to you, say, God has called you. Say, that's for sure. Say, you don't need a title. You just need to believe. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. All right. It says, For I say, through the grace given to me, this is Paul talking. He's basically saying, for I say through the grace given to me, he's talking about himself, but he's getting ready to address us, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many, somebody say, we being many, are one body in Christ, and individually, you don't have to read, and individually members of one another. You know, when we get to the point, we're going to come back to verse 7. We need to get to the point where we get a revelation of how we should flow together as a body. Like look around. Look around now at the seating. You see the gaps? Right? I think that's kind of an indication of our closeness and our connection. And so when we learn that we were supposed to flow as a body, we shouldn't be disconnected from one another, right? We want to be a family here. Your local church wants to be, should be a family where we flow together, right? And so we're talking about grace. Let's go to verse 7. It says, having then gifts differing according to what? According to the grace that is given to us, let us what? Let us what? Let us use them. So we've been given gifts according to grace, according to God's grace. And he's saying if you've been given something, then let's use them. So all of us have been called by God to flow in the gifts and the grace that he's given to every last one of us. Amen? Let's finish that. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, who decides? It's really God who decides. When we read these verses, you'll see it's God who decides how he bestows his grace according to what he's called us to do. So I want to share these verses today, and these gifts are called grace gifts. Now, I studied this years ago. Marilyn Hickey, how many of you know Marilyn Hickey? She's a great Bible teacher. She's been teaching for years. And she's the one who, the first teaching I heard on these grace gifts. And so I'm going to just, you know, go over them quickly today, but I want us to see that we've all received grace from God to flow in his power, right? Yeah, I said power, right? Grace gifts, grace is powerful. It comes from God. It empowers us. It empowers us. It's God's empowering presence that comes on us to do an assignment. And we've all been called to do an assignment. All right, let's keep reading. One more time, I'll read this. Having then gifts differing, so we're not all the same, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Tell the person next to you, say, use your grace. Right? Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace. So grace has been given to us, and we don't want to not use it. Right? We don't want to waste it. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. And I'll come back to these. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Amen? So I've listed these things. This is very practical. This is something probably every 5 years or so, because we get new people, get different people. And some people are still trying to identify their grace gifts. So God has given us these gifts, the things listed, 7 of them. Amen? 7 means complete. So the first one is prophecy. You know, let me read. All right, so we've been given these gifts. Let me read to you. starting in verse 9, okay? I didn't ask them to put these up, but so he just listed those seven grace gifts. I might say grace gifts. I've been given a gift according to God's grace. All right? Verse 9 in the Amplified says, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Verse 10, it says, love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. I love that statement. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude towards you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy. I mean, how many of you have rejoiced over something recently? We tell people, right? When something good happens, when God's done something in our lives, we like to tell people because we want to share our joy, right? In what he's done. And on the other hand, when we're going through things that are heavy on our hearts, we want to share that as well, because we want to get some support from our Christian family. Amen? And sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another. So what Paul is telling the Romans here, God's given you grace gifts to minister to one another. Now, we're talking about sharing, being sharers of each other's grace. So the grace that's on you is supposed to bless me. The grace that's on me should bless you. And so it's a give and take thing. So God has done that. This chapter here is talking about how we're supposed to minister to the body of Christ, to each other in love with the grace that God has given each one of us, right? So God wants us to minister to each other in love. Somebody say, we got a ways to go for that. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people, things, and give yourselves to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Amen? So he's sharing here as it goes further. I'm focusing on verses 3 through 8. But as you read that chapter, I would recommend you read that chapter to see how we're supposed to act with one another and interact with one another, because we're one. We're different, but we're one. Amen? So the first one that it lists, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Remember, grace, it's divine energy. It's ability. God gives us the ability to do what he's called us to do. Amen? Each one of us. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, this is a different type of prophecy. It's not a prophet, right? This is a person who they want to expose evil, right? Probably the ones who do it or the ones who say, So this person, now remember, these are seven grace gifts. They're also called motivation gifts. What motivates you in the body of Christ? What motivates you to minister to other people in the body of Christ? So they're called grace gifts. So this person, the grace that God gives them, enables them and prompts them to expose evil. right? So all these grace gifts affect how we even read the Word of God. What verses jump out at us, right? When we get to mercy, this is a person who is concerned about a person's emotions, you know, whether they're hurting or, you know, depressed, things like that. And so when they read the Bible, those are the verses on love are the ones that jump out, or ministering emotional healing to people are the verses that jump out. So the same thing for the prophecy person. So this person likes to expose evil, okay? Now, you can find out who you are. They say the easiest thing, you might read this list after I give you the characteristics and say, gee, I don't know which one I am. But when you hear the weakness of that gift, then that helps you locate yourself, okay? So I'll like John the Baptist had the gift of prophecy. He was a prophet, but you can tell by the way he ministered, you know, calling the religious people vipers and stuff like that. I mean, he shot from the hip. He didn't mince words, right? So this is how a prophetic person is. Now, I'll use myself. And I was thinking about how when I'm up here preaching sometime and I'll ask you, I'm sorry, am I yelling? Do I sound like I'm yelling? Or, you know, because this is my motivation gift. And so, but the weakness of this person, and it's good to expose evil, right? But of course, the Bible tells us to speak the truth in what? In love. So you don't just stab a person, just kill them with your words, and then, you know, they walk away all broken, right? So, but that's the weakness of a prophecy person, prophecy-motivated person. They expose evil, but the weak side is they can be really harsh with their words. So, does anybody here know if you're prophecy motivated? Yeah, Brenda. Only one person will admit. Two people, me and Brenda. Who else? Minister Margaret, I beg to differ. Teresa. Raymond. Yes. You are? Oh well, see, hers is really regulated. I mean, she operates on love, because I wouldn't guess her to be that. But all right, we got to. She's better than me. Okay, but anyway, this is what motivates you. This is how you want to minister to people. Not everybody wants to do that, you know. So. The love of God regulates the prophecy motivated person, then they begin to help people. I remember years ago, people used to, I would say things to people and then they would walk away hurt, right? I'm like, what? No. And so, but for the most part, as far as I know, I would hear, they wouldn't necessarily, no, they would come back to me like 2 years later, you know, way later and say, Pastor, you know what? You offended me that day when you said, when you said such and such, but God got with me, you know, the Lord got with me and, you know, you were right. And so, so we have to learn how to minister that gift. So that's the first one. So anybody think that's you? You find yourself correcting people. I used to have a, never mind, let's keep going. All right, so that's the prophecy motivated person. They love to expose evil, but their weakness is they don't always speak the truth in love, okay? So that's something you have to work on. The second one is serving. The New King James Version says, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Use the grace. So this person, the server, likes practical service to the body of Christ. Like, this is the person who will, when you need help doing something, moving chairs, cooking, this would be ushers. they like people to be comfortable. They like to meet the demands of the congregation. You know, they will jump to help. They're easy to help, like really practical stuff. They don't need a title. They don't need to preach. They don't need to be noticed until the end. But so this is just the person that wants us to be comfortable in the body of Christ, right? Now, I know all of you sitting here, you're not an usher type person. You would do something else. But we need Pauline, you know, we need the ushers, right? And they do it with joy. They do it smiling. They don't complain, right? Now, Pauline, I'm not talking about you right here, but the weakness of the serving person who likes to make people comfortable. They remember people's choices. How many creams you want in your coffee? You know, different things like that, because they want to minister to us in very practical ways. The weak side of a server is they'll come. How can I say this? They want to hear how they serviced you. So they'll come back before you even have a time to see what they did and say, "Did you like it? Did you like it?" So, you know, but that's you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's how you can tell if you're a server, a very practical, motivated server. Is that anybody here? This is the person that just jumps to help. Anybody here, you think that's your ministry? Yeah, one. Lord Jesus, no wonder we the same people doing the same things all the time. Five people raised their hand. Help us, Lord. But how many of you know they're just as necessary as a person who exposes evil? They're just as necessary. The way the church flows, every gift is just as necessary as mine. Absolutely. You know, I can't do this. Nobody can do this by themselves. So we need these people. So that's the serving person. They like practical service. The next one is a teacher that's listed here as a teacher in the body of Christ. This motivates you to minister to believers by being a teacher. Obviously, the teacher, the one who's motivated, gift of teacher, they like to teach, right? They like to teach. And one of the things is they like words. They like word studies. They always give you the Greek, you know, the Hebrew, you know, of words. They love words. They love studying words. And so, I mean, if you know, that's a good thing. We need teachers in the body of Christ, right? We need people to teach the word of God. Amen? Any of you here think, let me share the weakness first. But the teacher, they love words so much. They want to get their message across so much. They don't really care if you're getting it. They're like, "What? This is good teaching. This is good teaching. How come you're not saying amen, hallelujah?" You know. So, but that's because they just love to study. They love the word of God and they love to teach. But we need teachers. Amen. Tell somebody, we need teachers. All right. Now, again, I'm sharing all this because I need you to see yourself. Now, most people operate in one, maybe even two of these motivation gifts. We all have at least one. We all flow in at least one. And some of you, even though you haven't used it in the body, in church, you use it outside, right? You'll be trying to teach your family. Oh Lord, thanks. Here she comes. She's going to tell us some words in the Bible. Teach us about the Bible while you're eating your turkey and cranberry sauce. But we're supposed to be ministering to each other in the body. So they love word studies, but sometimes they're not concerned that you're getting the message. All right, the next one is the exhorter, which I said I beg to differ, Minister Mark, because I think you're an exhorter, but if you say you're prophecy motivated, she can do both though. But whatever you say, that's not for me to say. But she's an encourager, for an example. Forgive me if I don't think of people off the top of my head, but the exhorter, they like to encourage people. They're always going around telling people good things, encouraging them to, you know, no, just keep pushing. No, keep coming to church. Look, God's on your side. And they just love exhorting people and encouraging people to go, to move on, to go on in the things of God. Amen? So one of the examples in the Bible was Barnabas. They called him the son of consolation because he was an encourager. So how many of you believe you're an encourager? You see people and they tell you something, you just ready. Oh, I can just tell them this. I can help them. I can help them, help cheer them up. So we need exhorters, right? That's why we need to come to church, because there's some exhorters hiding around here. And if you could just talk to them, right, they can encourage you out of your slump, spiritual slump or whatever. So we need that so much in the body of Christ, especially now, because so many people, so many Christians are dealing with depression, right? And you know, things happen in their lives. We need encouragers. Now, the weakness of the encourager is that they'll encourage somebody in something that they don't have the grace for. Like, you know, girl, you should sing. And no, she shouldn't. Oh, just, you know, just volunteer in the, you know, in the music area, this area. And they don't have the grace for that area, right? We want to flow in the area that we have grace, right? So sometimes encouragers, in their effort to encourage somebody, you know, they might just tell you anything just to lift up your spirits. They also go by facial expressions. So if they're trying to encourage you and they don't look like they're being encouraged, they'll say something else. Or they'll try something else. It's like, I'm not letting this person leave till I encourage them, right? And so, you know, they're very persistent in doing that. But we need encouragers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heal people. Heal the ones that had to deal with the prophecy person. Amen. Then the next one is the giver. The giver. This is a person. Now, you might be sitting here. They love to give. This is the person who, let's say they were on a board, right? The church board or something, or board anywhere. They're the ones who want to know about the money, about the finances. They always, well, where's the money going? Well, how's this being spent? You know, they're always interested in the money. Say, get off my back. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But they're very concerned about finances. They're very concerned about finances. And of course, because they love giving, how many of you know God needs people who love giving? Because the gospel's not preached, ministry doesn't run, right? Without money. So God, this person, it may be you, you can tell that God has graced you to earn money. Amen. Earning money comes easy to you. Now, of course, you adhere to God's principles, you're a tither, you're a giver, right? But you can tell that when God gives you an idea or something to do, that you prosper, that God causes you to prosper. And so, in other words, a giver, if you're a giver and God knows that once he gives it to you, you're going to use it, you're going to give it over to be used for spiritual things, church things, then God will bless your finances. So this person loves to give, and they don't give small amounts. They love to give large amounts. So that will weed out a lot of people. Right? They like giving big amounts, not little amounts. They're generous. They're generous. According to this teaching, Abraham was a giver, right? He wasn't stingy. He paid for what things were worth. And so, and of course, you might know what the weakness is of the giver. How many of you think you're a giver? Maybe you shouldn't raise your hand. No. Seriously. How many of you think you're a giver? Now, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So maybe you can guess the weakness of a giver is they'll use their money to manipulate people. Like, I bet you I'll take my tithe and leave this church. Right? That's the weak side. But we all learn to walk in love and get rid of those weak sides of these grace gifts. Amen? And so sometimes the giver, they will manipulate with their money. That's why the Bible says, if you're a giver, do it simply. Do it with simplicity. Right? So we don't need you talking in the hall telling everybody, yeah, I just gave $1,000 to the such and such, you know. No, just be cool and let the Lord see you, all right? So the next one is the organizer or the administrator, all right? Again, we all flow, we all operate. How many of you found yourselves so far? I mean, I know I'm not teaching it as deep as I could, but you need to locate. Y'all wait until I do the last two, is that? So that means the rest of you are organizers and mercy people. Well, we'll see. So the next one is the organizer or the administrator. This is the person who loves to lead. They're good in administration. They're good. Dr. Lamont was an organizer. That was his gift. You know, I told you about his flow charts. He loves flow charts. You can't get more organized than that. So he loved flow charts. He loved putting things together. He loved putting teams together. Administrator will put teams together to get a job done, get an assignment done. Their pastor asks them to do something, and they'll get it done. Amen? And so they know how to pick people. They know how to pick people. Right now I'm thinking about Minister Kim. She's an organizer. You know, organizer, although sometimes they don't just take up a project, but most of them do. If they hear that the pastor has a need, they'll take up the project. And Minister Kim, in a minute, she'll say, oh, pastor, I'll do that. You know, I'll do that. So, but an organizer, this isn't the weak side, but can happen to them. They can over-volunteer themselves, and they get overburdened, and then instead of expressing themselves, I've never experienced this with Minister Kim, but, you know, then all of a sudden they're just burdened with responsibility. And so the organizer has to learn how to, don't take on more than you can do, okay? But they can put teams together. They know who to pick. They just know how to put things together. And so how many of you think that's you? Like if I would say, you know, we're getting ready for we're getting ready to have a banquet for 40 years, and if I ask for somebody to help organize that, that might be you. I'll help, Pastor. I'll help organize it. So, now the weak side is, in order to accomplish the goal, they might run over people. Pastor Lamont, man, he knew how to play chess, brother. He knew how to play chess. If one person was in their way, in his way of his goal, he'd go around and ask somebody else. And you'd hear people say, Pastor asked me to do that. Well, he asked me to do that. Well, somebody wasn't doing that fast enough, and he went around, right? Not understanding how the person feels who got stepped over. Right? Or that he went around. But that's because they're going to get the job done. I know Pastor Lamont, he didn't like driving behind anybody. He had to go around everybody, you know. So that's the mindset of an organizer. How many of you think you might be an organizer? Now, all these things we need. I need it. Let me be personal. I need these gifts flowing in our church. Right? And so so that's the organizer. The last one is the mercy motivated person, right? So this is the last one. The mercy motivated person is the person who feels for other people's feelings. Like if I were to preach something, you know, and sound harsh, they're the ones looking like to see if did his feelings get hurt? Did she that she just hurt her feelings over here? You know, so they're the ones in tune to people's emotions, how they feel. It's just and so, which is a good thing, but the Bible says to do it cheerfully. Now, so this person wants to heal. They're concerned about people's emotions, not necessarily healing their physical bodies, but their emotional issues. That's what attracts them to people. They want to help people to heal emotionally. So they're very sensitive to whether people's feelings are getting hurt or, you know, different things like that. And so it actually causes the weakness. The weakness of the mercy-motivated person, the one who wants people to be healed emotionally, they take on other people's offenses. So if they tell you, well, you know, Pastor Connie, she preached something that hurt my feelings, right? And then now all of a sudden, they're mad at me too. Instead, but it says to do it cheerfully. You're supposed to go down to where the person is, hurt emotionally, and pull them up cheerfully, not get into their offense. I know I'm talking to somebody today. And so, because you get offended when somebody else is offended. Tell somebody, I said, that ain't right. And that's not Christian. And so, so that's the weakness. That's the weak side of the mercy-motivated person, right? But this is the person that feels. You know, you can, they don't like prophecy person, people. Prophecy-motivated people. They say, she's so hard. He's so mean. It's usually because they're mercy-motivated, right? And I'm talking to a couple people at least. But but we need all these things, right? We need all these things to, and all seven of them together, all these seven motivation gifts operating in the body of Christ makes up Jesus. Now, even though we're heavy in one or two, we should be able to flow in all of them. We should all be able to give. God should all be able to tap all of us on the shoulder to give. We should all be concerned about exposing evil, right? We should all be concerned about people's emotional feelings in order to help them, to cheer them up and make them go on, right? The service person, but we can all serve, right? We should all, shouldn't have a problem jumping to help, right? If you see a need, then just help. We're not going to hire you. We're not going to make you do something every time, but we should be able to serve the body of Christ in a practical way at some point in time. Y'all hear me? Y'all understand how God has designed this for us to flow together. So none of us are left out. Just because you don't have a badge, just because you're not standing behind a pulpit, right? Just because you're not chosen to do certain leadership things, you have a grace gift that motivates you. So you need to take some time to sit down and examine yourself and just say, what do I love to do? How do I like to minister to people, right? And so that you can locate yourself so that your gift doesn't go to waste. And this whole chapter is telling us this is what God has given us to minister to his body. Amen? To minister to one another. So none of us are wasted. None of us are unnecessary, right? God wants us to flow and to do what we love doing. You know, I just walked past Pauline coming in here. She's just smiling. Hi, Pastor. You know, so, you know, God wants all of us smiling. Can I put it that way? He wants all of us smiling. He wants all of us to have worth. He wants all of us to have a part to play, a role to play in the body of Christ, and he has done that. And the scripture says, let us do it, right? Tell the person next to you, say, just do it. Use your grace gift. You don't have to wait for some award or something, or just do what motivates you to minister to the body. Amen? So we can get the job done. And that every, you know, this teaching reminds me of a dream that I had that I've shared with you all at some point in time. I had a dream, and we were in a white building, and everybody in the building was wearing white, right? And of course, I was in it. So I'm walking with a couple people in white. And then, so the hallway was wide enough that it was two-way traffic. So I was going this way. People were coming this way. They were dressed in white. But everybody, we were just chatting and happy. We were obviously holy because we had on white clothing. The building was white, which is representation of holiness, cleanliness. So God wants his house clean. But more importantly, I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be fulfilled and serving God and being pleased with themselves, right? And prospering. So that's my vision. So when everybody finds out what their motivation gives and starts flowing in it, then we can start to do that, right? There's no grumpy dumpies around. Everybody's doing the thing. Everybody's doing their grace thing, right? So let me know, let somebody know what you believe you're motivated to do so we can give you something to do. Amen? So that you can be fulfilled, right? We are not living here to serve ourselves. We are here to serve other people. Amen? And we're here to raise up servant leaders. Amen? So, all right, so again, we're going to find out what our motivation gifts are, and then use them. Use how God created you to minister to one another. Amen? All right. So, anybody not find themselves? I'll tell you right now. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody not find themselves? I'm not going to put you on the spot or anything. You don't think. You heard yourself. Anyone? Anyone? All right. I know y'all so shy, y'all wouldn't do it anyway. But no, I believe you heard me, and I believe it has you thinking if you're not flowing in that way already. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So we're supposed to be sharers of each other's grace, and that comes from Philippians 1 and verses 6 and 7, where Paul told the Philippians that they were partakers of his grace. And so they did their part. He did his part as an apostle, right, who went around preaching everywhere. They supported him financially, and they supported him with their prayers. And he describes that as being partakers of each other's grace. So as Paul was preaching the gospel, they supported him. So they were doing their part. Amen? All right, so we're supposed to minister to the body in love. Now, with that being said, I'm going to end with this. Some of you, probably most of you, know that today is the last Sunday for Minister Yemi and Minister Toki. Being here. Forgive me. I cried in the card store yesterday. I thought I was finished. But anyway, they have ministered to this body for how many years? How many? 27 years. 27 years. We have been partakers of their grace and sharers in their grace that's on their lives. You know, I was thinking how when you all move and whatever ministry you become connected to, they're going to be like, we have found two treasures. in the body of Christ. So, and that's the honest to God's truth. They have been people of integrity. They've been loyal. They have been faithful. They have used their time. They've used their resources. You've loved on people. You've helped people. You've prayed for people. And we're going to miss you terribly. And so I just want to say thank you for sharing your grace and sharing your lives with us. And I realize this is a different time for you, but I appreciate 27 years of faithfulness. It has meant a lot to us. We've been partakers of their grace individually, as individuals, and as a couple. Amen? As a family. You have made an impact on us. You have left an imprint on Living Faith. Amen? So you've left an indelible mark that can't be replaced. And we love you. This is sad, but you can be excited when you know that you're walking according to God's will. And so this is a different time in their lives, and somebody else needs them. So they blessed us, amen? They made their deposit here. And so I want the both of you to come up. But again, that the next ministry, they're gonna say, wow, you know. So we're just gonna pray together for them and over them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm just gonna do this. And so I just want y'all to stretch your hands toward us. I'm not gonna make this long or anything. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you for the many, many, many years that Yemi and Toki have imparted to this ministry. We thank you for their love, for their love walk. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for their integrity. We thank you for their encouragement. They have been encouraging all these years, faithful all these years. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name, we all touch and agree that even though they're used to doing what they're called to do now, God, that you would give them more grace for this season to handle what you need them to handle for this time in their lives. Father, we ask that you would bless them. Father, we ask that you would keep them strong physically, mentally, financially, and socially. And we just thank you for it, Father. We trust you. We know that they're in good hands because they're in your hands. And again, Father, we thank you for their deposits. We thank you for what they've added to our church, our ministry, and to all the people that they've ever ministered to, ever spoken to, spoken over, prayed for. We just thank you. We praise you. We thank you for new grace. We thank you for double grace for this year especially. And we bless you. We bless both of you. We love you. We thank you, God. We thank you. We count these things done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Aww.
You make me cry. I love you.
I have this for you. This is just a small token for the two of you from me and the ministry. Okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. And I love you too. And
thank you again.
You're welcome. All right, let's give them a hand, everybody. Praise the Lord. Yep, yep. So it was a shocker, but praise God, they gave us time. So time helps you prepare for things, for changes. So, but we know God is faithful. Amen? And he's gracious. And so as he's blessing them in this new time, he's going to take care of us as well with what they leave. Amen? I don't want to say a hole, but it's a gap, is something. It's going to leave something, but God's going to take care of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, you can give the Lord and them. I'm going to stay up here and do an altar call. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give an invitation to anyone. If there's anyone here, maybe you just decide to drive here and come visit us today, or maybe you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want to pray a prayer. And if you, I'd like you to repeat this prayer after me. If you want to get born again, if you want to rededicate your life, if you repeat this prayer after me, but the key, of course, is believing in your heart what you're praying with your mouth. And so something supernatural and spiritual will happen. That's how faith works. It's in your heart. You're believing in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth. So please pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Lord. I believe that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I also believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I also believe the Word of God says that God the Father raised you from the dead to live forever so that I could receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and live forever with you. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, come into my life, change me, mold me, make me brand new, call me into your family. Say, Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord of my life. And I thank you now. My new life begins right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody pray that prayer for the very first time? Anybody pray that prayer for the very first time? Or you rededicated your very first time? Or did you rededicate? It doesn't matter. Either one. Amen. He raised his hand. So let's give him a hand clap. Amen. Praise God. If you have the time, we would love to give you some information and to pray for you. We'd like to pray for you back here. Brother Gary's headed your way. So if you wouldn't mind, can you join him? And they want to take you in the back and just for a few minutes pray with you, minister to you. Amen. Come on, y'all. Let's give him a hand clap. Who's okay? Praise the Lord. And while they're ministering to him, praise God, let's welcome Minister Yemi. He's going to lead us in tithes and offerings.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. This is my last time on this pulpit. Oh. Wow. Just allow me to just take it all in. Thank you, Pastor Connie. Thank you so much. Thank you, church. Thank you, ministers, the elders. But I'm here to do tithes and offerings, so let's go to the, let's do it. Prepare your hearts and mind for tithes and offering. This is another form of worship, and we have to be prepared. Amen. If you're watching us online, please prepare your hearts also. Remember, one of my favorite sayings when I do tithes and offering is, God is a what? A cheerful giver. Don't you ever forget that. God is a cheerful giver, and I will say, look into each other's eyes and say, God is a cheerful giver. Amen. Amen. Look with me. I want to say something. I'm not there. It's just a lot of emotions in me right now. So bear with me. But one thing I want to share some things in the Word about giving. Pastor Connie shared it, a part of it, when she was talking about the grace gifts. And one of them is giving, being a giver. And, you know, there is a secret that I found in the Word, how to get God's attention. How do you get his attention? It's like saying, how do you get the attention of the President of the United States? That's even low. But just think about it in the natural. But we're talking about God now. How do you get his attention? First thing that Jesus tells us is to have faith. When you have faith, you get God's attention. But do you know that when you give, you get God's attention too? When you are a giver, you get God's attention. And I say, Minister Yemi, why do you say that? I'm going to give you two references in the Bible. It says in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 4. I'm going to read it very quickly. It says, at that time, there was a Roman military officer, Cornelius, who was in charge of 100 men stationed in Caesarea. He was a captain of the Italian regiment, a devout man of extraordinary character who worshiped God, listen to this, and prayed regularly together with all his family. He also, catch this, had a heart for the poor and gave generously to help them. Say, gave generously to help people. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had an open vision and saw the angel of God appear right in front of him. Uh-oh. How many times did the angel of God appear to you? Not many. He's one of them. And the word of God said, he gave generously. At 3 o'clock, he had an open vision and saw the angel of God appear right in front of him, calling out his name, Cornelius. Startled, he was overcome with fear by the sight of the angel. He asked, what do you want, Lord? The angel said, all your prayers. Catch this. All your prayers and your generosity to the poor have ascended before God as what? As an eternal offering. There's an offering that's an eternal offering. And only the generous give it. You catch that? So, let me give you another one. This is in the book of Mark, chapter 12. It said, then he sat down near the offering box, watching all the people dropping in their coins. Many of the rich were putting very large sums, but a destitute widow walked up and dropped in 2 small copper coins worth less than a penny. To God, it's not the amount you give, it's the heart that you give it. It's the mindset that you give it. Jesus called his disciples to gather around and then said to them, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus. He picked out this lady who gave the littlest amount. But because she's a giver, he pointed her out and let the disciples know that this is a special person. If you want to be special with God, If you want God's attention, be a generous giver. Amen? Would you please show the videos for giving?
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
All right. Let us all stand. I know being a generous giver is not something that some people are born with it. Some of us will have to grow into it. Would you pledge to yourself and say, Lord, help me to be a generous giver? Not just your money, in everything. In your coming to church, in your reading the Bible, and be generous in everything that you do. I promise that I will be a generous giver myself, and I hope you do the same. Let's look forward to reading the tithes and offering confession. We ready? We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of the scripture that protects those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and giving to the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, business, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in tithers' blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tithers' blessings that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promised tithe rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8. Amen. Amen. Raise up your hand if you are a believer of the confessions you just made. Say, I believe that what I said is true. So seed, I sow you now. Now you go and be a blessing everywhere you go, but still return to me so that I can give again, again, and again, and be a blessing to others so that I can get God's attention in my life and as I serve him in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise God. All I'm going to say is, Minister Yemi, Minister Toki, myself and Minister Mike, we grew up in the spiritual playpen at Living Faith Christian Center. We'll always be connected at the heart and the hip, and we love you. Amen. So I have a few announcements. If you would run the video announcements, please. Hallelujah.
With the rise of the sun each morning, we remember how you rose to the call. And with every sunset, in every evening, we remember the beauty of your sacrifice. We remember what you stood for, and we will not forget what it cost. To the families, friends, and fellow service members of the heroes we've lost, we remember. In the peaceful days and the quiet nights, in the moments of joy and laughter, in the seasons of celebration, we remember that it did not come without a price. Because of you, we can walk in liberty. Because of you, the flag is still there. Because of you, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. On this day, we remember the price you paid to pledge your allegiance. So today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives, we remember.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, wow. I saw that video once and it didn't hit me like this. I'm sorry. Thank you. So we heard we're having a concert. Praise God. If you think about it too long, you might be too late. We are having a limited amount of tickets, and so we want to encourage you. Tickets will be going on sale next week, and we're no respecter of persons, so that means if you're a member and you think, oh, I got a sure shoe in, you sure don't. Amen? So if you're going to go, get your tickets. They'll go on sale next week. In addition to that, we will also be having a black tie gala red carpet banquet on Friday, August 22nd. And we want to encourage you again, limited tickets, limited seating. Get your tickets, get your gowns. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be celebrating 40 and 40. And Pastor will tell you a little bit about that later. But 40 and 40. And so you don't want to miss being a part of what God has done here at Living Faith Christian Center. I know that my life truly is a life that's been changed over the 30 plus years that we have been at Living Faith Christian Center. So I'll see your face in the place if you get your tickets. Amen? Amen. And also, that's it. Amen. We're going to welcome back Pastor Connie. Amen.
Sorry, my power pack just fell off. Here, come up here with me. Follow me. Go to the back. She says she has me. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Chris. All righty. Technical difficulties. I do want to mention that the Coyagers are actually relocating to Missouri, right? Yeah. That's how they say it, I think. It's not Missouri. It's Missouri. So they're relocating. So it's not just random. They're not just leaving. They're relocating, so, and they'll be with family. Also, let me see, there's one more thing. So instead of trying to celebrate 40 years in 365 days, we're just sandwiching everything in 40 days. So we're going to do as much celebrating as we can within 40 days to celebrate 40 years of God's goodness. So that's what 40 in 40 means. So the banquet and the concert are just two things that are happening. So we'll keep you posted and what else we're doing to celebrate 40 years. Amen? Amen. Praise God. How many of you know that is 40 years of anything is a nice long time. Amen? And and to prove, not that we need to prove, but to prove the goodness of God and to prove the faithfulness of God. Amen? So he's with us. He's for us. Amen? And we're happy about that. Do we have any first-time attenders? Any first-time attenders? This is your very first time. Can you just raise your hand in the air like you just don't care? Hey, how you doing? Hi. Come on, y'all. Let's give them a clap. I see you. Praise God. We got somebody else over here. I think they're giving you, passing out some welcome packets. Amen. Over here, where? Right here. Hello. Praise the Lord. We just want to welcome all of you. And thank you for coming here today. You could have been at any other church, but you came here. So we're happy about that. We pray that you were blessed by the service, blessed by the word and the worship. Amen. Come on, y'all. Let's give them one more hand clap. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. I want to give an invitation to open our doors, if you will. If you've been coming in Living Faith for a while and you have just prayed about it and you've decided you're going to make Living Faith your church home, you want this to be your local church where you can live together, love together, serve together, be built up together with the rest of us. Is that anybody today? You want to make Living Faith your church home? If you just raise your hand, we'll see your hand. Anybody here today want to do that? Praise the Lord. Sometimes people are shy and they'll come up after service, after we're dismissed, and that's okay too. But just in case you wanted to make yourself known, that's what I wanted to see. Amen. All right, everybody. Well, the Collegios, did you get a chance to ask them? They're going to be up here at the altar, so you can get your hugs and say goodbyes to them and, encourage them, all right? So they'll be up here at the altar. At the same time, if anybody needs prayer, we'll have a minister or an elder up here to pray with you as well. We'll keep you over here. We'll keep the Collegios over here, okay? All right, everybody, well, let's dismiss. Get ready to enjoy the rest of our day. Amen. Okay, Mr. Kim, for the concert? Yes. Tickets for the concert will be open to the public as well. So, and it'll be here. It'll be here in the sanctuary. I think we're going to add seats, add some aisles, whatever. And so we can have a good time. Okay? All right. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for 40 years of watching over us, protecting us, using us. When other churches had to close, you kept us open. And we are thankful and grateful for that, that we could continue to help your people and to serve together and love together. We just thank you for it. Father, in Jesus' name, you have already spoken it in your word. Just like when you blessed Adam and Eve, God, you've called us blessed, the righteous. So Father, we thank you, we praise you, we declare and decree that each one of us are blessed. Come on, y'all. Happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. If you're in agreement with that, say, I'm blessed. Say, and so are you.